Welcome to Virtual Bible Academy's audio teaching of Disciple Making One, Abiding in His Word. This is Lesson 6, the New Testament, pages 81 through 97. For this lesson, it's important for you to have a printed or digital copy of the lesson in front of you. This lesson takes you beyond the Gospels on a fast trip through the second half of the New Testament. You'll see how the early church spread and how the rest of the New Testament fits and flows together. Did you know that the book of Acts covers about 28 years? If you were there at the Ascension in Acts 1 at your present age, how old would you be at the end of the book of Acts? If you were 22 at the beginning, you'd be 50 at the end. If 42, you'd be 70 at the end. And you know, in the book of Acts, there are only about 36 verses per year. That's 2 words per day. And there are 64 geographic locations mentioned. That's like visiting the capital of all 50 states of the United States and then revisiting 14 of them. And in seeing those places and going to those places in Acts, they traveled over 8,000 miles. That's about 13,000 kilometers. That's a third of the way around the world. It's New Delhi to Los Angeles, or Cairo, Egypt, to the tip of South Africa, and then back to Cairo. You see, Acts is a fast trip through a lot of places in a short time, 28 years. And sometimes I'd rather see a highlight reel of a sporting event than the sporting event itself, sort of just seeing the key, important, exciting plays. That's the book of Acts. It's a highlight reel of the gospel going out into the world. And we've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right to it. Page 81, Lesson 6, the New Testament. Purpose of this lesson is to help you understand the New Testament beyond the Gospels and to give you several reference pages for your future studies. And I can tell you, this is a really easy lesson. Lesson 6, the New Testament. Look at that verse right under the title. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is Jesus speaking. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Acts 1:8, right before he ascended. Fact 1, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That was Pentecost. It happened. And you shall be my witnesses. The word witnesses in Greek there is martus. That's the word in English that martyr comes from. Why? Because these early witnesses were martyred for their faith and testimony. Where would they testify? Where would they give the gospel? Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Look at that first paragraph right under the verse. At the Ascension in Acts 1, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that they would be witnesses, starting where they were in Jerusalem, then expanding into the surrounding areas of Judea and north into Samaria, and then to the remotest part of the earth. They did receive power at Pentecost, Acts 2, and they became witnesses, and the rest of the book of Acts records the expansion of their ministry, right in line with Acts 1:8, what it says there, the expansion of their ministry into Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and into the Gentile world, and eventually Rome. You see, in Acts 1, Jesus went up. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came down. Acts 2 through 7, the church went out into Jerusalem. And then Acts 8 through 28, they went out into the rest of their world. 4 missionary journeys are then going to follow this. But first, Peter and the other apostles began in Jerusalem. The church grew by large numbers, but intense persecution, beginning at the stoning of Stephen, drove the early church into, in obedience in what Acts 1:8 states, into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus and Peter's vision opened the door for expansion to the Gentiles, and eventually into the remotest part of the earth. And it was at this time that the apostle James was executed. And then here's those 4 missionary journeys. The first one took Paul and Barnabas from Antioch through Southeast Asia Minor. And after this trip, they and Peter attended the Jerusalem Council that recognized the fact that Gentile new believers did not have to be circumcised to be saved. Second missionary journey took Paul and Silas from Antioch into Macedonia and Greece. Luke and Timothy were with them. But because of a disagreement with Paul, Barnabas took John Mark on their own mission trip to the island of Cyprus. Third missionary journey took Paul and his companions from Antioch through Western Asia Minor. And at the end of that trip, they returned to Jerusalem. Paul was arrested there and imprisoned in Caesarea. That gave Paul the opportunity to give the gospel to governors Felix and Festus and to King Agrippa. You see, his arrest was his open door. In appealing his case to Caesar, Paul set sail as a prisoner to Rome on his fourth missionary journey, this one paid for by the state. He was shipwrecked along the way, giving him the opportunity to minister on the island of Malta. The shipwreck opened the door for ministry. During his first Roman imprisonment, Paul ministered to many people while under house arrest for 2 years. Then he was released and revisited churches. Paul was arrested a second time and held in a Roman prison. Then, as an old man, he was executed. After Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, the Apostle John moved to Ephesus and then was exiled to Patmos, where he wrote Revelation. That's the New Testament beyond the Gospels. That's it. That's the flow of what happened. So look on with me to page 82. This is a reference or overview page. The numbers here at the top, I like numbers. They help me remember things. 27 books in the New Testament are 5, 9, and 4 and 9. 5, 9, 4, 9. The New Testament books are arranged in an easily understood order. 5 books of history, the Gospels and Acts, then 9 letters from Paul to groups, so it's 5, 9, and then 4 letters from Paul to individuals, and finally 9 books by other writers, 5, 9, 4, 9. 5 books of history, 9 letters from Paul to groups, 4 letters from Paul to individuals, and then 9 books by 5 other writers, 5, 9, 4, 9. 5 books of history, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that was lesson 5, and now this lesson that includes an overview of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the record of what Jesus continued to do beyond the Gospels, but then through his followers after the ascension. 9 letters from Paul to groups. These are titled by the location and the recipients, where the letter went. Paul wrote 9 letters to the new churches to encourage, teach, and correct them. And during his missionary trips, he wrote Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. After these trips, during his first Roman imprisonment, he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. These 9 books, as I said, are titled according to the recipients of the letters. And Paul also wrote letters to individuals, 4. 4 letters named based on who the letter was sent to. 4 letters to individuals. During his first imprisonment in Rome, he wrote Philemon, wrote to him, a brother in the Colossian church. After Paul's release, he wrote to 2 church leaders, to Timothy in Ephesus, and then to Titus in Crete. Then, during his final Roman imprisonment, just before his death, Paul wrote his last letter, a touching personal letter to Timothy. Then there's 9 books by other writers, 5 other writers. James, the half-brother of Jesus, and Hebrews, which was not written by Paul. I don't believe most people agree with that. They don't think it was Paul. It's a different vocabulary, a different style. So maybe it was Barnabas. But James wrote, the half-brother of Jesus wrote James. Hebrews, written by someone. 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Jude, another half-brother of Jesus, and John also wrote Revelation. So 5 books of history, 9 letters from Paul to groups, 4 letters from him to individuals, and then 9 books by other writers. Page 83 gives you another view of the same thing, the organization of the New Testament. Just a reference page. 5 history books, 9 of Paul's letters to groups, 4 of his letters to individuals, and then 9 books by others. Let me give you a couple hints here for finding your way around. For quite a while in my Christian life, when I came to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, I didn't know which book was where. Let me give you a little memory gimmick here. Remember this. Give every person Christ. You got that? Give every person Christ. G-E-P-C. Give every person Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Start with the same letters. G-E-P-C. Give every person Christ. So it's those 4 letters, and then all the T's are together. Did you ever notice that? 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Now, if you get to the T's, you know they're beyond give every person Christ, beyond Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. But all the T's are together in descending number of letters. Thessalonians is the biggest word, Timothy is the middle one, Titus the small one. All the T's are together. They're also alphabetical, the T's. So you can find your way around a little bit easier with that memory trick. On to page 84. This is a one-page description of the book of Acts. It's an outline of New Testament history. Let me ask you this question. Who wrote the biggest portion of the New Testament? Many people would answer Paul. He wrote the most parts of it, but he didn't write most of it. Luke did. And if I asked you what was Luke's occupation, I'd guess you'd probably say physician, a doctor. You know, if you asked him in heaven, what do you think he'd say? My guess is he'd say he was a missionary. You see, right at the top of that page, 84, a description of the author of the book of Acts. That's Luke, Gentile, a Greek, a doctor, historian of the early church. He wrote the book of Luke in chronological order, the gospel, and then Acts, the history of the early church. He's the historian. And he was Paul's companion from as early as the second missionary journey right on through to his second Roman imprisonment, writing more than anyone else did. And as I said, Paul probably didn't write Hebrews because it's a different style, different format, using a different vocabulary. The book of Acts is a continuation of Luke's gospel. It's a record of the apostles' obedience to the Great Commission. After Christ's ascension in Acts 1 and the Holy Spirit's arrival at Pentecost, Acts 2, the apostles went into action. See, Acts 1, Jesus went up. Acts 2, the Spirit came down. From 2 through 7, chapters 2 through 7 in Acts, their ministry spread out into Jerusalem, where thousands believed. But persecution, beginning with the stoning of Stephen, forced the early Christians out of Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Sometime read Acts 1:8 and 8:1 together. You'll see that the persecution that God allowed drove them out in obedience to Acts 1:8. The oppressor Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, and the door began to open to take the gospel to the remotest part of the earth. Peter's vision opened the apostles' hearts toward taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and Saul became the great apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. In addition, at that time, the apostle James was killed. These next 2 paragraphs, 4 missionary journeys. First one, to Southeast Asia Minor. 2nd, Macedonia and Greece. Then West Asia Minor. And then eventually Malta and Rome. His first missionary journey took him and Barnabas through Southeast Asia Minor. And a dispute arose about the Gentile converts. And Paul and Barnabas attended a council with Peter in Jerusalem to resolve the problem, and the truth was recognized that new Gentile believers did not need to be physically circumcised to be saved, that heresy was avoided. Paul and Silas left Antioch for the second missionary journey into Macedonia and Greece, Luke and Timothy with them. Barnabas and John Mark split off and went to the island of Cyprus. Paul's third missionary journey took him and his companions through West Asia Minor. Then they went back to Jerusalem. That's where Paul was arrested, and he was confined in Caesarea. Confined there, he took the gospel to governors Felix and Festus and to King Agrippa. If you were arrested, would you see it as an open door? It sure was for Paul. But he exercised his right as a Roman citizen to appeal his case to Caesar, and that set his course for Rome. That was his fourth missionary journey, that one paid for by the state. On his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, and that gave him an opportunity to minister there. If you were shipwrecked, washed up on the shore in some strange place, would you see it as an opportunity, as Paul did? But finally, in Rome, he was under house arrest in his own rented quarters for 2 years, and people came to him. House arrest was an open door, but it was the people's open door to where he was held under house arrest. He told them about the kingdom of God, about Jesus, and some believed. That quick overview is the book of Acts. It's very easy. Jesus went up, Acts 1. Acts 2, the Spirit came down. Then the church went out into Jerusalem. And then in four missionary journeys, Southeast Asia Minor, Macedonia and Greece, West Asia Minor, eventually Malta and Rome. Beyond the book of Acts, Paul was released, and he ministered for a few more years, then imprisoned again, and apparently executed in the mid to late 60s A.D. Apostle John's ministry continued beyond the other apostles, and after Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D., John moved to Ephesus, where he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and was exiled to the island of Patmos, and he wrote Revelation. Page 85, another reference page. This just is the same thing taken down through this as the outline of the books of Acts, the chapters of Acts. Acts 1, the ascension, Jesus went up. Acts 2, the Spirit came down. That's in keeping with what Jesus has said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They did receive power, and the church went out. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. They first went out into Jerusalem. Persecution came. Stephen was martyred, and the church, Acts 8:1, persecution drove them out into Judea and Samaria. And then the door opened to the rest of the world. Paul was converted. Peter had a vision. James was killed. Four missionary journeys. Acts 13 and 14, Paul's first missionary journey, Southeast Asia Minor. The Jerusalem Council on Circumcision took place immediately after that trip. You see, in Jeremiah 4:4 and Jeremiah 9:5, as mentioned back in the salvation lesson, is that circumcision of the heart is what saves someone. Circumcision of the flesh does not. There is no good work that's added to what Christ did. So they avoided the heresy of adding physical circumcision to the gospel. Second missionary journey to Macedonia and Greece, a third to West Asia Minor. Paul was arrested, confined in Caesarea, gave the gospel to governors Felix and Festus, then to King Agrippa, and then off on his way to Rome, shipwrecked on the way to Malta. The door had opened to the rest of the world. See, the book of Acts is really easy. It is. Now, these locations might need some clarification. So look at page 86. There's two maps on that page, first and second missionary journeys. The next page, we'll look at the next two, missionary journey 3 and 4. But up in that first one, you see in the bottom left of that top map, it says the first missionary journey, Southeast Asia Minor, the late 40s AD, that's the time frame. The references in the book of Acts are right there. If you're looking at something in Acts, you can look at this and see if it's in this first journey. Now, looking at that top map, down at the southeast corner, the bottom right, Jerusalem is down there. If you go straight up from Jerusalem, almost straight up, you'll see Antioch. There's a little star next to it. To give you perspective of this trip that's outlined with the dotted line, the dashed line there, the distance from Jerusalem to Antioch is about 300 miles, 480 kilometers. That's a good start on these travels. Then between these two maps, I've written between the maps on my paper, Jerusalem Council of on Circumcision. That's where that took place. In between these, it's when it took place. The bottom map, the second missionary journey, looking at that little box on the bottom left, the southwest, second missionary journey, Macedonia and Greece in the early 50s, and the references in Acts are there. Now, again, you see where Antioch is? It's on the right side, sort of middle of the map, the east side, sort of middle. The star is next to Antioch. That's where they started, and they went up to Tarsus. You can follow the line and the arrows of all the places they went. Check that out, and you'll see the names of some of the places of the books of the New Testament. You'll see the seven churches and beginning of Revelation there in the middle as well. But you see where Antioch is. You go all the way over to the other side, right above the word Greece, and you see Corinth. Do you find that? It was straight, almost straight across the map from one edge to the other. A straight line from Antioch to Corinth is about 700 miles. It's 1,100 kilometers. Can you imagine what transportation was like back then? And we'll get to the age of Paul, and we'll see how dramatic God's strengthening him really was. Page 87, third and fourth missionary journeys. Again, bottom left of each map, third and fourth journeys, where they were, when they were, and where you'll find them in the book of Acts. That upper trip, just to give you the feel for it, again from Antioch, over at the right side, middle of the map, going all the way up over into Macedonia and Greece, and then coming back down and ending bottom right, southeast on that map, to Jerusalem, where Paul was arrested. That trip was somewhere, actual travel, 2,500 to 3,000 miles, 4,000 to 4,800 kilometers, a huge trip. On the bottom of that page, 87, you see where he went from being arrested in Jerusalem, bottom right, southeast corner of the map, then up to Caesarea, immediately above where he was held, ministering to governors Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa, then set sail. And you follow that dotted line along all the way over to the west, the left side to Malta, where he was shipwrecked, then on up into Rome. Straight line from Jerusalem to Rome. It's about 1,400 miles, 2,300 kilometers. That sure puts his trips in perspective. Remember, Book of Acts is 28 years and a total of about 8,000 miles. So that's an overview of the Book of Acts. And then there's the rest of the New Testament. Look at page 88, Paul's letters to groups. Saul of Tarsus, the author. Now, Saul was his Hebrew name. Paul was his Greek name. He wasn't renamed. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul, his Greek name. He was a highly educated Jew, a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, a Roman citizen, and he was a persecutor of the early church who was converted after his experience on the road to Damascus. He became a missionary to the Gentiles and author of 13 New Testament books. Now on this page, and we'll see this in the next few pages, there are little 30 to 40 second summaries of each book. So listen to these so you can get an idea of which ones you want to dive into next. Romans. Paul wrote this letter to all who are beloved of God in Rome. He hadn't been there yet. And the letter was written from Corinth near the end of the third missionary journey, the mid-50s. The book of Romans is the most doctrinal and formal of Paul's letters. He wrote detailed, foundational truth covering subjects of sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, and service. And he wrote to believers in Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Actually, I'll note here in a second, there was a letter between these that's not included in Scripture. 1 Corinthians. This was written to the Church of God in Corinth. It was a church founded on Paul's second missionary journey. And the church was struggling in the midst of that very immoral port city. Paul wrote to them from Ephesus during his third journey. The worldliness of Corinth had infiltrated their church. Paul wrote about factions, about sexual immorality, lawsuits, marriage, food, the Lord's Supper, and the use of spiritual gifts. And chapter 15 provides comprehensive teaching on the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. 2 Corinthians, apparently the believers in Corinth had not responded favorably to Paul's first letter, and he made a trip to see them, and he wrote another strong corrective letter, but that letter is not included in Scripture. Following their repentance, Paul wrote another letter, 2 Corinthians, written during his third missionary journey, and he wrote it from somewhere in Macedonia. He wrote of his joy that they had repented. He defended his character and his ministry, taught on giving, and defended his authority as an apostle. And then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Remember, give every person Christ. G-E-P-C. Give every person Christ. Galatians, he wrote this letter to the churches, plural, in the region of Galatia. He'd visited them on his first and second journeys. However, the date and location of this writing is really unclear. The believers in Galatia had been misled to mix law, good works, into salvation. As you remember back in the salvation lesson, eternal security is based solely on the work of Christ. You don't add anything to it. The Galatian believers were adding good works to salvation. And he strongly presented salvation, Paul did, by faith alone. And he warned against the dangers of legalism, but also against license. See, he explained Christian liberty. We're not free to sin, we're free to not sin. Ephesians was sent to the saints who are at Ephesus. He had been there on his first and second journeys, and he wrote this letter to them from his first imprisonment. And he described the believer's spiritual wealth, being chosen, sealed, saved by grace, and united in one body. Then he exhorted them to walk worthy of the heavenly calling and position given to them. He described how to follow God in life, how to stand against sin, how to be in the Spirit, at home, at work, and in the warfare. Philippians was to the saints who are at Philippi. He had been there during his second journey, and he wrote to them from his second imprisonment. He expressed his thankfulness for their consistent testimony and for their support of his ministry, and he encouraged them to be at peace, to be humble like Christ, to be on guard, and to rejoice. Colossians, written to the saints and faithful brethren in Colossae, you see, Epaphras, a convert during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, brought Christianity to that city. Philemon was part of their church. This letter was written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment, and he stressed the deity and supremacy of Christ, and did that to correct the hybridizing effect of false teaching, of bringing other things into the teaching of Christ. They had brought in bad influences of legalism, philosophy, and mysticism. Paul wrote that Christ is supreme, and therefore believers should seek the things above and live accordingly. Page 89 starts with the two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Paul wrote them to the church founded in his second missionary journey. Persecution had forced Paul to leave, and he wrote from Corinth. And Paul's personal comments about their ministry, about his own ministry, gave examples of a walk worthy of the God who calls each believer. He exhorted them to withstand sexual temptation, to lead quiet lives, to work, and to be at peace about the return of Christ, and to fulfill their duties toward spiritual leaders in conduct and in worship. Paul wrote his second letter to them shortly after his first letter, and he encouraged them in growth and endurance under persecution. Some had misunderstood his teaching on the return of Christ, and it actually ceased to work. Thinking the day of the Lord had come, Paul wrote about the coming events of the last days, and he commanded them to work if they expected to eat, working and waiting for the return of Christ as they lived holy lives. And Paul wrote to individuals. His letters followed a basic pattern. He presented personal concerns and greetings. Then he taught spiritual truth. Then he taught application of that truth, and then concluded with personal comments. Paul's commitment to God's truth was equaled by his concern for people. He would give the truth, then teach them to live the truth. And even in Romans, his most formal and doctrinal letter, he devoted an entire chapter, chapter 16, to personal greetings and concern. You see, Paul was committed to the three things that last forever: God, God's Word, and people. The four letters described in this section are focused on his concern for Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus. 1 Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy as his true child in the faith. Timothy was the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and was associated with Paul from the second missionary journey on, and he left Timothy in Ephesus to oversee the ministry there. Paul wrote this in the early 60s, after his first imprisonment. He instructed and encouraged Timothy to be a good leader, and there's many subjects that are covered: prayer, women in the church, leaders, dangers and defenses, the older men and women, widows, elders, masters and slaves, false teachers, and money. And he exhorted Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this final letter in the mid to late 60s, from his second imprisonment. He wrote it shortly before his death. It's an extremely personal letter to his beloved son, Timothy. He encouraged Timothy to be strong, to not be ashamed, to minister faithfully, to stand true in the coming apostasy, false teaching, to do the work of an evangelist, and to fulfill his ministry. Paul wrote to Titus, his true child in a common faith, and it was after Paul's first Roman imprisonment. He left Titus in Crete to set in order what remains and to appoint elders in every city, and he encouraged him to carry out that task. Paul taught Titus about elders, about rebellious, empty-talking, deceiving men, and about older men, older women, younger women, and slaves. He wrote about subjection to the government, consideration for all men. He wrote about false teachers and salvation producing a people zealous for good work. Paul wrote to Philemon during his first Roman imprisonment, during Paul's imprisonment. It is Paul's personal plea to his friend Philemon in Colossae. The slave Onesimus had run away from Philemon, his master. Onesimus came to faith in Christ through Paul's ministry while Paul was in prison. And Paul, when he was under arrest, Paul sent the new believer back to his master with a personal plea for forgiveness and the promise to repay anything that he owed to Philemon. Paul was deeply concerned with doctrine, with application, but he was deeply, deeply concerned for people. Are you committed to people? As a leader, are you more concerned about your ministry or about the people? Are you committed to people? And who are your Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Onesimus? On to page 90. These are pivotal events in the life of Paul. They're on page 90. You see Paul's age for these events that are listed in the left column. I don't need to go through all of this, but a couple things to point out. Life expectancy in Paul's world was probably under 40. Some even suggested it was about 28 years old. But Paul lived maybe as old as 70. He started out there in the mid-30s, his age, at Stephen's stoning, there in Acts 7 and 8. He persecuted the early church. Acts 9, he was blinded and converted. He was with the apostles. His life was threatened, and he went off, still in Acts 9, to Tarsus. And you know there's a gap. Did you know that? Read Galatians 1, 17 through chapter 2, verse 1. Maybe it was 14 years, some say as many as 17, that he went off before he really began to minister. Lesson there is don't rush off to the mission field. Get ready. When he was in his 40s, he was retrieved by Barnabas, carried money to Jerusalem. He was commissioned. And then his missionary journeys, which we've talked about, I've told you about multiple times before he was, those journeys before he was ultimately arrested and then executed. Couple things. Acts 20, 24, Paul said this, in his mid-50s probably. I do not consider my life of any account. This is Acts 20, 24. It's not listed there on the page. Acts 20, 24. I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that I may finish my course. Get that? So that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Question I ask myself, when the time for me to go to heaven comes, will I have finished my course? Will I have completed my ministry? Paul said he did not consider his life of any account so that he could finish the course and the ministry which he had received. Then 2 Timothy 4:6, also not there on the page, but 2 Timothy 4:6, it was Acts 20, 24, now 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8. Paul wrote, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure, my death, has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Can you imagine that? He finished. Will you be able to say that at the end of your course on earth? Will I? The other thing here, realize that Paul died maybe in his early 70s, close to 70 or early 70s. Will you be still dangerous at 70? Would an oppressive government against your witness feel that you were worthy of execution? Could you be in your 70s and because of your testimony be martyred? Isn't that an amazing thought? Look at page 91, 9 books by 5 other authors. The identity of the book of Hebrews, we don't know. Probably not Paul. But it was a letter like James written to Jewish audiences. We don't know who it was that wrote it. But here we have these books, Hebrews. This letter was written to Jewish believers, probably mid to late 60s. The author, location of writing, and original readers, outside of knowing they were Jewish, is unknown. The theme is the superior Christ gives us a superior life in Christ. And Jesus is presented as better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Joshua, and better than the Levitical priests. This eternal superior priest made the superior sacrifice, and he gave us an eternal superior life with him. Is that a great way to look at the book of Hebrews? Book of James, addressed to the 12 Jewish tribes, who were scattered abroad. It's an early New Testament book, maybe written in the late 40s. James wrote practical instruction in everyday Christian living. He covered trials and temptations. He talked about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer, about not showing personal favoritism, and turning faith into works. He also gave instruction on the use of the tongue, about using wisdom from above and not being worldly. And he concluded his letter pointing out the power of prayer. Peter wrote two letters, mid-60s, and to deal with difficulties and dangers facing Christians. External opposition is explained in 1 Peter, and 2 Peter covers opposition from inside. In 1 Peter, he pointed out that salvation gives new hope in the face of outside persecution. He exhorted his readers to gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he continued with instruction in holiness, fear of God, love for one another, growth, submission, suffering, and service. In 2 Peter, he switched and started attacking the problem of internal opposition. He stressed the need for continued growth rooted in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. He wrote against false teachers, reminding the readers to expect them in the last days before the return of Christ. And he exhorted them to look for his Christ's promised return and to be diligent to be found holy at his return. Page 92 covers 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. 1st John, there at the top of 92, explains that believers can actually know and be confident that they have eternal life. He wrote that believers should walk in light, live in light rather than darkness, in forgiveness rather than sin, in love rather than hate, and in assurance rather than fear. 2 John is a short note to the chosen lady and her children. He exhorted them to love one another, obey God's commandments, and be on guard against false teachers, showing them no hospitality. 3 John is a note to John's friend Gaius. John commented on the good report that he had received about him, and he wrote a strong criticism of Diotrephes. Jude. This was written between mid-60s and late 70s. The short letter was a strong appeal to contend earnestly for the faith because of the dangers from false teachers. Jude wrote that they had crept in unnoticed, and their hidden wreaths, grumblers, lustful, arrogant, and flatterers for the sake of gain. Such false teachers should be expected in the last days. Jude exhorted believers to walk obediently. Revelation, final book in the New Testament, John's final book concludes it. He wrote it during his exile on Patmos in the 90s. The outline of the book is Revelation 1:19, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. And that gives you, the outline that's detailed there of the book of Revelation, ending in the last verses with the words of Jesus saying, "Yes, I am coming quickly, suddenly." And John added his amen in the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." And that's the end of the books of the New Testament. There's a final paragraph there on page 92, other books. You see, no other religious books written today or in earlier times are God-breathed as are the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. No other religious writing, Christian or otherwise, are equal to the Bible or superior to the Bible. And any church or any church leader who proclaims anything contrary to the Bible does not speak for God. Such people should take heed the warning from Jesus, Mark 7:6-8. "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.'" There's no other book like the Bible. Don't let anybody add to it or take away from it. Page 93 is one of those flowcharts that you got used to in the last two lessons. This takes you through the New Testament from Acts 1, the Ascension, on to John, off to Ephesus and Patmos. The ascension, Jesus went up, Acts 1. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. Then Acts 2 through 7, the apostles are ministering in Jerusalem. Stephen is stoned. Persecution sends them into Judea, Samaria, and then to Galilee. Saul's converted. Paul, Peter has a vision. James is martyred. It's not there, but that's when that happens. The first journey, Jerusalem Council on Circumcision. Second, third journeys, Paul arrested, sent to Caesarea, where he gives the gospel to governors Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. Fourth journey on the state to Malta and Rome. He's released after he is under house arrest. Ministers again to some of the churches. Rearrested, imprisoned, executed. Jerusalem is destroyed in 70 AD, and then John is off to Ephesus and Patmos. For the review section, look over at page 96. This first page, page 96, is a fill in the blanks from the multiple choices listed there. Let me just go through them just as a review to help you remember. When you do this study, it would be a good idea to take the test on the previous two pages before you study it, and then, or at least afterwards, and check your answers with these pages. The book of Acts begins with the ascension. Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power. At that time, Jesus told his disciples that they would be witnesses. They would do that starting in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the remotest part of the earth. In Acts, number 7, records the expansion of the gospel in just those places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. Then continuing on 97, Acts ends with Paul in rented quarters in Rome. Paul's first missionary journey went through Southeast Asia Minor. Peter and Paul, Barnabas, settled an early conflict at the council in Jerusalem, where they discussed salvation and circumcision. Second journey went into Macedonian Greece. Number 15, Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Paul's third missionary journey went into Asia, West Asia Minor. Paul witnessed to Felix and Festus while under arrest in Caesarea. Number 18, Paul was in prison twice in Rome, once house arrest. The Apostle John was exiled on the island of Patmos. And 20 is that interesting question. The answer to this question is a number. Which one of the answers, 11 to 19, is out of chronological order? And that turns out to be the shipwreck on Malta. That happened after he left Caesarea and before he was arrested, or where he was put in house arrest in Rome. So 15 actually should be down there between 17 and 18, but it's out of order intentionally to help you process and think. So the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament is easily understood, and it's fairly simple, like I told you. So it is easy. Go back and review it, study it, and use these pages as reference when you're studying the book of Acts, or when you're deciding what to read of the other letters, the other books of the New Testament, or when you're actually not just deciding, but studying them. And that is the end of Lesson 6, the New Testament Beyond the Gospels.